Hey everybody, it's Rick. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast. Hey, today I got a quick question. It's probably not going to be quick, but we're going to go through it a little bit. But I think it's a simple question. And that simple question is one of the arguments for Christ. And so that question is, would you be willing to die for a lie? And probably not just would you be willing to die, but would you be willing to be tortured and die for a lie that you knew wasn't true? You see, I think that's the biggest part of the question, right? That last part, that you knew that it wasn't true. And I believe that when people challenge Christianity today, whether you're an atheist or an agnostic or whatever it may be, I think people overlook just a core area of evidence, that key area. You know, for me, we can trust the testimony of the apostles because so many of them died a martyr's death because they stood by two truths. That first truth that they stood by was the deity of Christ. And the second is the resurrection of Christ. These men were persecuted, tortured, beaten, and faced death by some of the cruelest and most painful methods that we could imagine. And they never recanted. So I just want to run through the apostles real fast and talk about it a little bit. And then we'll just see where we go, right? And so we're going to start with Peter. And the reason I want to start with Peter is because for me, other than Paul, he's one of the most prominent disciples of Christ and one of the most important leaders in the early church. And so we have to ask the question, how did Peter die? And I don't think it's disputed. I think that everybody is pretty much in agreement that he was crucified. But that crucifixion came with a twist. And that twist was that he was hung upside down on the cross. You see, the Emperor Nero in 64 AD had Peter crucified after the Great Fire of Rome. And he did this because he blamed Christians for starting the fire. And Peter was a leader of the church. And it's said that he was crucified upside down because he didn't consider himself worthy of dying the same death of Jesus. And so you have to kind of imagine what that pain would be like. And the other thing is that if we go to John 21:18, we're going to see Jesus tells us, "Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you were old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." So right here, Jesus is telling Peter how you're going to die, right? You're going to stretch out your hands on a cross. Somebody else is going to dress you. They're going to lead you where you don't want to go to be crucified. And then in John 21:19, we're told that Jesus said, "Follow me," right? Then he said to him, "Follow me." So this is Jesus indicating the kind of death that Peter is going to have, that his death would glorify God, and then he says, "Follow me." I want you to remember that Peter is the apostle that denies Christ three times. You can go read Luke 22, 54 through 62, and you're going to see how Peter denies Jesus. He's afraid to die by being associated with Christ. So how would a man go from this level of fear to the willingness to die for Christ? How could that happen if he knew it was a lie, if he knew it was made up? So there's one thing for certain that you're going to hear me ask this question a lot during this podcast, and it may be overly redundant, so I'm going to try not to be. But at the end of the day, if Peter knew that Christ was not resurrected, that he did not ascend, that he was not the Messiah, if it all was a fabrication, would Peter have died for that lie? And then we move to Andrew, and we'll go to Andrew because Andrew's Peter's brother. And it's believed that they suffered a similar death, right? And according to various accounts, Andrew was martyred by crucifixion in the Greek city of Patras in around 60 AD. And just like Peter, Andrew didn't consider himself worthy to die the same way. Fox's Book of Martyrs says he preached the gospel to many Asiatic nations, but On his arrival to at Edessa, he was taken and crucified on a cross, the two ends of which were fixed transversely in the ground. So that's where the term St. Andrew's Cross comes from, right? And so it's clear, right, if Peter knew that the resurrection was a lie, so did his brother. I mean, I think that's pretty simple, right? They're brothers. They tell each other. Then we'll move to James, right? James is the first of Jesus' apostles to die following him. And he's one of only two apostles whose death is actually recorded in the Bible, right? We can go to Acts 12, 1 to 2, where it says, "It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword." So you see, at this time, King Herod is trying to win over the Jews, right? He's trying to win favor with the Jewish authority. And since the Jews wanted to prevent Christianity from spreading, King Herod believed that by persecuting James and persecuting Christians like James, that he would please the Jewish leaders. And it did, right? If you move on to Acts 12:3, it says, "When he saw that this met the approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also." This happened during the Festival of Unleavened Bread. You know, so biblical scholars believe that James was killed in Jerusalem around 44 AD. He was one of the apostles, and he certainly would have known of a plot to steal the body of Christ and trick the Jewish authorities. Would he have continued even up to death? You know, the thing I think is important to think about is that at this time, right, the Jewish people believed that the Messiah would come at the end of times and never in the middle, right? They never expected Christ to come in the middle of times and be resurrected and ascend and do all the things that he did for us. So James, along with probably all the apostles, would have been taught basically since birth. They would have been taught the Torah and the law. Right? And for thousands of years, they have passed these teachings from generation to generation, and the history of the church of what they believed about, you know, the Messiah coming at the end. So to die for this lie is extremely unlikely if you know that it's a lie. And then we move to the Apostle John, right? Traditionally, John's considered the only apostle to die of old age. And before Jesus died, he actually asked John to take care of his mother. And those are my words, right? If you look at scripture, John in John 19, 26 and 27, it says, "When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, 'Woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' From that time, this disciple took her into his home." Now, what he's really teaching us here is that Jesus trusted his mother to John. Entrusted is probably the right word. She was to look at John as a son, and John was to look at her as a mother and care for her like a mother, which he did until she died. But after that, it's believed that he went to Ephesus, where he wrote his, you know, epistles, and was then exiled to the island of Patmos, where he wrote Revelation. So even though John, you know, even though the reports say that John died of old age, he went through decades of persecution, right? There were even reports that he was boiled in oil where he miraculously survived. You know, and if you think about that, being boiled in oil, like right up to the point that they're getting ready to put you in a vat of boiling oil, he never recanted. He never changed course. I can't imagine, you know, feeling the heat from the oil. It's bubbling. It's splashing up on your feet or your legs. And you're like, it happened. Jesus died and was resurrected 3 days later. If it was a lie, I just can't even imagine it. So then we move to Philip. You know, the bottom line is that I don't think, based on the research that I've tried to do, that we really completely understand how Philip died. You know, early Christians, I think, confused Philip the apostle with Philip the evangelist from the book of Acts. So that actually makes matters worse. And there's conflicting stories, right? One account says he died of old age. One says that he was beheaded. Another that he was stoned to death. In more popular stories, Philip died a martyr's death by crucifixion. And according to this account recounted in the Acts of Philip, Philip was persecuted by the Roman Empire because he converted people to Christianity. And under the reign of the Roman Empire around 80 AD, it says Philip was crucified in Egypt. So, like Peter, Philip was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified in the same way of Jesus, right? He didn't feel like he was worthy. So, look, like I said, there are numerous stories and opinions about his death, but the same question remains as all the others. Would he have died for a lie that he knew was a lie? After Philip, we come to Bartholomew, right? He was probably martyred, but like many of the apostles, there's several ways it may have happened, right? The most popular account is that he was flayed and then beheaded, which is, you know, being flayed, right? If you just go do any research about, like, what does it mean to be flayed, right? I went and looked it up, right? Since that's the most popular cause of death. The word flay means to peel the skin off of a corpse or a carcass, or to whip or beat someone so harshly as to remove the skin. I mean, it's gruesome. It's gruesome to think about how this actually happens. You know, every year I generally watch The Passion of the Christ. And I think when I think about this flaying and, you know, and whipping and beating someone until it removes their skin, I think about when the Roman soldiers are beating Jesus. And I always cry. I always cry for his pain that he suffered for me. And I just can't imagine anyone going through that for something that they knew was a lie. And so we move on to Thomas, right? I think, you know, Thomas is infamously known as Doubting Thomas. And his death is pretty straightforward. He was stabbed with a spear in India, and there are no other accounts that exist regarding his death. So there's no controversy here. But I do want you to recognize that he's called Doubting Thomas for a reason, right? When Jesus appeared after the resurrections to the disciples, Thomas wasn't in the room, right? And that's John 20:19-24. And the disciples tell him, "We've seen the Lord," and he didn't believe them. He said, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, put my finger in the nail where the nails were, and put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe." That's, you know, that's recorded in John 20:25. You can go read it, right? Then in John 20:27-28, it's clear that the apostle didn't believe. He wanted proof. He wanted firsthand proof, and he got it. This is another example that if it was a lie, Thomas would have not believed it. He would have not died a martyr's death for something untrue. I mean, here was a guy who said, "I don't believe you guys. You told me you saw the Lord, but I doubt." And until Christ said, "Put your fingers here, put your hand here," he didn't believe. But once that occurred, he was willing to die for the truth. As we move to Matthew, there's several conflicting accounts about his death as well. And I, you know, I'm going to be honest, as I started doing research for this, I thought all these were pretty straightforward. Like, they all died in this way, you know, one was beheaded, one was crucified. But there are varying accounts of how it occurred. So as we move to Matthew, like I said, there's several accounts. Early records that reference his death, Matthew's death, say that he was martyred, but they really disagree about how and where. You know, the early church fathers say that he was burned and stoned and stabbed or beheaded. And I talked about the you know, Fox's Book of Martyrs before. You know, in that book, under the entry for Matthew, it says, "The scene of his labors was Parthia and Ethiopia, in which latter country he suffered martyrdom, being slain with a halberd in the city of Nadaba, AD 60. You know, and the thing when you think about Matthew, right, here he was a tax collector, and the way his lifestyle was lavish, right? He had a lot of things, and he walked away from everything, like so many others have to follow Christ, but he left all the comforts of being a tax collector to follow Christ. And after leaving all of those comforts, would he continue to follow if it was a lie? And then we move to Jude. Jude, you know, they say Jude was martyred in Syria on a mission when he was with Simon the Zealot. And everybody believes he was killed with an axe. And then we have Simon the Zealot. And I recognize that in my research, I found several different accounts for how he died, just like other people's, right? One says that he was martyred in the kingdom of Iberia. Another says that he was martyred in Persia in 65 AD. And then another one says that he was crucified in Samaria. But regardless of how and when he died, I think that we can all agree that he was martyred for his steadfast belief in Christ, right? He didn't walk away. He never recanted. Everybody should know about Judas, right? Besides James, he is the only other apostle whose death is actually recorded in the Bible. But unlike James, he wasn't a martyr, right? He hung himself after he betrayed Christ. Then there's Matthias, who replaced Judas after Jesus ascended to heaven while they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. And that's recalled in Acts 1, 12 through 26. It's not certain how he died, but I can find three different accounts, right? One that he was beheaded, one that he was stoned to death, and the last that he died of old age. So regardless of how he also died, he was persecuted until his death for following Christ. And the last one to talk about is Paul. Now, we all know Paul. He was not originally one of the apostles, and he was at one point set out to persecute any followers of Christ himself. Before his conversion, he did horrible things to the followers of Christ. And even though he wasn't one of the original apostles, he was the one that people universally considered the apostle to Gentiles. And in Romans 11:3, it says, "Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me." And while Paul's death isn't recorded in the Bible, it is one of the more well-documented martyrdoms in the early church, right? And you know, the early church fathers of the early church wrote that he was beheaded by the Emperor Nero around 68 AD. So if you consider who Paul was before his conversion after the road to Damascus, his name was Saul of Tarsus. He was this young man who was well-educated, and he was well on his way to be a rabbi. And the first time we hear about Saul in the New Testament is in Acts 8:1, when he approved the killing of Stephen. He clearly was extremely hostile to the spreading of the gospel and the believers of Christ, even if that meant they had to die. He was going to stop them. And in Acts 3, we see that, you know, Saul began to destroy the church. He is a man that we see clearly did what he had to do for the Christian faith after his conversion. We see it through all of the epistles and letters that he wrote. He was willing to die for that truth. He never recanted. He never swayed even a little. He was on a path of success and would soon be a rabbi, and he walked away from all of that to spread the gospel of Christ. What I hope, what I really want you to think about, and I really want you to consider for yourself, does it make sense that these men who we have talked about today would have died for a lie knowing that it was a lie? Now, this argument for Christianity, right? The would you die for a lie argument, it doesn't definitively prove Christianity. Not by itself, right? Not singularly, right? But what it actually does is seek to argue that a person will generally die for beliefs and not for something they know is a lie, right? Throughout history, we have read stories and heard stories of people dying for their Christian belief, for their faith in Christ, but not when it was a lie. And this generality is more and more convincing the more people who get involved, right? So look at it like this, right? There's 12 people. Each one tells you that they've witnessed firsthand that, you know, Christ rose from the dead and he ascended to heaven. Each of these 12 is then persecuted and eventually executed for this belief, separate from each other, with an opportunity to recant, right? Miles and miles away, different years, an opportunity to recant, to live, and none do. Now, if it was one person and not 12, one person, maybe they hallucinated, right? Maybe they hallucinated the event and died for a belief. A couple of people could have conspired together, right? Perhaps suffered from some kind of psychological disorder, right, that prevented them from admitting they're wrong, right? Maybe they're, you know, narcissists or whatever, and they died for it. But 12 people unanimously separated from each other, never recant, and die. That's unlikely. So what the argument shows is that it is far more likely that a dozen men who died for a claim of something they firsthand witnessed believed that claim than these same men dying for a conspiracy they concocted to manipulate the masses. Had their account been knowingly fictitious and self-created, it is extremely unlikely that at least one or two, but at least one of them would have recanted to save their own life, especially when they were all separated in various lands. Nobody else would have known. I'm going to save my life and I'm going to recant because it wasn't true anyways. So for me, the argument of would you die for a lie is very valid. And for me, while it may not definitively prove Christianity to some, it does for me. It shows that it is so unlikely that a dozen men died for a claim that was false that there's no other option. There's no other option than it is the truth. So that's my challenge for you today is go figure out, go research and understand what does this argument look like, right? That's what this podcast is about, right? We're here to try to prove it. I know we've done things, we've done interviews, we've talked about people, you know, we've talked about Philippians and we've talked about hope and whatever it may be. But at the end of the day, we're here to talk about Christianity. We're here to show people the truth. There is only one truth. There's not my truth or your truth. There's one truth. There's one objective truth, period. And the truth is that Christ died on a cross, and 3 days later, he walked out of that tomb. Look, this is Rick, the Nomad Pastor. Hey, I appreciate you listening. I hope you have a blessed week. If you have questions, send me an email at hello@nomadpastor.org. Look us up on nomadpastor.org on the internet, or just subscribe and share it with your friends. If you have questions, let me know. I hope you have a blessed week. Thanks.